The divine in me is unlimited. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with the Instant Inspiration. This is evening Instant Inspiration. The divine in me is unlimited. There are so many of us, we go around saying, I've got to tell you what my problem is, so that you can know about it. I have to tell you what I want so you can know about it. I have to tell you that I need abundance, I need health, I need relationships, I need all these things. I got to tell you that, because if you don't know that, then how are you going to treat for me to have those things? Well, the divine in me is unlimited. If I say all is in divine order, then everything is in divine order. Now, is there anything left out? Now, how do you know that tomorrow you're not going to step right down on a nail and run it right through your foot and it's going to be a rusty nail and give you all sorts of stuff? How do you know that? Now, just a minute. Just a minute. How do you know that? You don't. So what you do is you say, all is in divine order. Today, tomorrow, never. That is your belief. That is your knowing. Does it cover everything?
Yes.
Does it cover that rusty nail?
Yeah.
Do you need to step on it?
No.
Okay. No. When you say all is in divine order, you cover everything. Okay. All is in divine order now. That is an assurance for you, reminding you to think in the now, not for tomorrow, when you're going to step on that rusty nail. And of course, you're not even going to step on that rusty nail if you have it all in divine order. And when you realize the divine in me is unlimited, then there's no limit to what I can enjoy and have and be. But we are so impressed with having things. We're so impressed with having relationships, having the physical, the human response to life. We're so impressed with that, that we're chasing it, chasing it, chasing it, chasing it. One of our students was chasing one of our other students, and I said, don't do that. I said, if you chase this person, they're going to run away from you. If you act fetching and desirable, they'll run to you. Now, if you like to run, then that's fine, you know, and all your life will be running because you're chasing this and you're chasing that and you're chasing the other thing. But if you want to have anybody come to you, be desirable. Be desirable. I talked with a young man, and I said, you know, you really should check the scene over and see where these beautiful girls are. And he says, I don't like going into bars. I said, you don't have to go into bars to meet people. Well, I don't want to go into church and meet some churchy people. I said, well, you don't have to go in church and meet people. He says, well, I don't want to go to these dance groups or these clubs or whatever. And I said, hey, that's fine. You don't have to. Well, what do I do then? I said, the first thing is you like yourself. And when you like yourself, you create an aura around yourself of likability. And everybody who comes in your world sees this likable person. And they want to be friends with this likable person. And you have to just pick and choose the people you'll be friends with because there are going to be so many of them. Now, surely one of these glorious people who is going to like you because you like yourself is going to be a person that you would like to know better, that you'd like to have as a more deep friendship, you know. Well, I don't want to get married. Well, you're the one who said you don't want to get married. If you just say, I want a nice relationship, does that relationship have to end up in marriage? Does that relationship have to end up in... The moment you say, I don't want marriage, you put it in motion for yourself. You put it in motion, and you fall head over heels in love with somebody, and you say, I hadn't planned on getting married, I hadn't planned on... But I can't live without her. She's wonderful. He's wonderful. You know, whatever the case may be. And whatever you do, don't say, I don't need this, I don't want that. because those are just the areas that you do need and you do want, and you're going to follow, and you're not going to be happy until you have it. So rather than do that, just say, all is in divine order. The unlimitedness of my divinity is expressing in me now. I like me. I am enjoying my life. I'm enjoying the people in my life. Now, when my son was 8 or 10, we took him to the yacht club to take ballroom dancing lessons. Lessons in normal dancing. And what's that?
8 or 10 years old.
Is that too young?
I would say so.
No, no. This is before they could object. The girls at 8 or 10 were ready. Well, anyhow, we took them, maybe he's 11, but we took them to the ballroom dancing. And we have a picture of him. I sent him his picture that we have of him. And he was in his nice suit coat, and all the rest of the kids were looking real good, and some a little scruffy, and but they were all, they could all afford the nice things and what have you, but they didn't like it or didn't. And the girls danced with the girls mostly. But finally, a boy would break in, a boy who just chose to do what he wanted to do. He didn't care. Now, those kids got thick together. They liked each other. They got to know each other, going every week, I think it was, to this dance in the evening. And they had a good time. Mark could care less about dancing. But he did a little bit of it. And when he did it, he was okay. You know, no big deal. And but what he was doing was planning on getting married. He was looking for a girl at that time, you know, to get married to, wasn't he?
No.
Not at all. When Mark was 4, we were in Atwater, California, and Faith was the secretary for the Methodist Church right across the street from my offices, the Atwater Signal. And so I'd have to go over there occasionally, as she'd be having some little function. Well, one day she had a mock wedding, and she wanted me to come over and take pictures for the paper of the mock wedding. And our little boy was wearing a pinstriped suit, you know, quite charming, and he was the groom. And it didn't mean a thing to him. He just stood there and looked pretty, and the girl kept going smooch, smooch to him, you know, because she had seen her mother doing that, and that was what we were supposed to do, you know. And all the other kids were just being kids, and now, come on, line up, stand here, now you're this and that, and they did what they're told, but there was no significance to them. They were not planning on getting married at that time. They had this relationship because they were at church, and they got married. And it was a wonderful marriage. And I think they pronounced them happy friends or something like that, you know, forever and ever. And I don't know if Mark ever met the girl again. But they had a real good time. Now, you see, our relations in life, we do not have to get married for every one of them. We do not have to have everything end up in a lifetime relationship. And if we do have a lifetime relationship, now, I am in love with my childhood buddy. He was 2 years older than I was, and I worshipped him, I loved him, I thought he was the greatest guy on earth. I never married him, but to this day, I love him. I just respect him, I remember him, he taught me all the things that a kid needs to be taught. And he was a farm boy, Fred Smart. He grew up on the farm, so he knew all the ways of life. And he just treated me like an equal, even though he was 2 years older. And I was a city boy, and he was a farm boy. But I just respect and love the guy, and always will. I don't want anything from him. I've already got everything, you know. He doesn't want anything from me. He is himself. He got married. He had three or four children, you know, and just a great guy. Now, when I was running around with him, not after him, but with him, as we were kids, we were the Three Musketeers with another guy and all that sort of stuff. We just had a great time. Now, you see, the divine in me is unlimited. If I say that my relationships have to end up in marriage, or my relationships have to end up in long-term arrangements, now, I would have never known that Fred Smart would be a lifetime friend of mine, you know, that we would have done many things together, and I was significant in his life in many cases, and he in mine. But the thing is, I would never have dreamed that 50, 60, 70 years later, I would still have a great respect and love for him, you know. And we don't know this. Now, would that marriages had such a nice relationship, you know, that they had no possession, but just the delight in remembrance and the delight in the presence of the person. And every time I'd see Fred after being gone for, 15, 18 years or something like that, he came by a number of times, and it was just like we had never been apart. Just chatted and friendly, had a good time. So, the divine in me is unlimited. The divine in you is unlimited. When you speak your word, all is in divine order. The divine in you knows what that divine order is. We had two fellows here yesterday, and one fellow, the Indian, was telling us, "Do you know what Bill did?" And we thought, now, what's coming up now? Bill likes creatures great and small. And we were at the ranch, at the other ranch where he is, and he said, Bill walked outside, and there was a big old rattlesnake. So Bill grabbed the rattlesnake by the tail and held it at arm's length away from him, and the rattlesnake was attempting to, you know, initiate him. And so he brought it into the house. And, of course, everybody scattered, and they were very startled by it. But, you see, Bill had control. He knew what he was doing. I wouldn't recommend doing that, but he knew what he was doing. And he was in full charge. Now, the rest of the guys, by their distance, were in charge. And, you see, he didn't have to be in love with the rattlesnake. He didn't have to be in love with these things. He's in love with himself. He likes himself. He doesn't have the self-confidence that he could have, but he does like himself. He thinks he's a pretty good person. And we're going to work with him to think he's a better person even. But the thing is, he believes in himself. He believes that he can. We went over into the oasis, and the first thing he saw was a lizard underneath the dining table. He says, a salamander. He said, "You want that guy in here?" We said, "No, not really." So he crawled on the table, picked him up, and cuddled him. And he says, "You know, they can bite a little bit, because they do have teeth." And he showed us how they could bite. And he took him outside and set him outside. And so then he went into the bathroom to wash his hands, and in the sink was a little greenish frog. And he says, "You want this guy in here?" I said, "No, no." So I opened the window, and he tossed him out the window. And so the frog landed right next to the salamander. Of course, salamanders eat frogs. But the frog didn't pay any attention, and salamander had other things on his mind, yeah. But there were several other instances that took place as we were doing these things. Oh, what, with the birds? Yeah. Yeah, well, we had quite something. Now, speaking of birds, this morning I was sitting at my desk, and Rhonda called. And I was talking to Rhonda, and I looked out my window. Here were five giant crows, 2 feet across each one, sitting on my fountain having a discussion. And on my roof were three more, and up on the telephone pole behind them were three more. And so I grabbed my camera and took a picture through the window. I don't think I got them all, but I know I got one sitting there. And the one jumped up on top of the dolphins looking down on the rest of them. And then at that moment, the rest of them took flight too. But they just have a wonderful time being there. I don't know whether they are listening to the divine within me and finding this a very harmonious place to be, or what they're going to do. But I do want to discourage them being there. This afternoon when I came in, Button saw them through the screen, and he was ready to dive straight out of the screen to go get them. I said, hey, cool it. But there were about four of them this afternoon. And we watched them up on the rock here. Now, today, as I went out up on top of the cave, there were about eight of them. And, man, you know, they really must be getting some good stuff. Where they got the potato chips the other day, I don't know. They sat at the fountain eating the potato chips and taking a drink of water because they're kind of salty, you know. But they were just having a ball, just having a ball. Now, the divine in me is unlimited. How many crows will I experience before I decide to release them and let them
now,
go there?
Now.
Done now, right,
we
right.
We have only one doves here.
And how many rattlesnakes will we see on the property?
None.
And I saw a coral snake the other morning on the path. Mm. And he was about, 6-8 feet long. He was over the path and back, you know, the width of the golf cart and back, you know.
Wow.
Maybe 6 feet there, but it was pretty long. With all the little colors on him, you know, little circles of colors. He might not have been a coral. Billy said he might have been a different type of snake, but corals are poisonous. And skinny. They're skinny like your finger. And so I looked at the guy and I walked by him and I said, hey, you know, you'd be happier somewhere else. And he was almost off our property. And so I said, you'd be happy over there, you know.
Yeah.
And so then I bought the boys and the golf cart and drove down there. And then I just happened to look down at the moment and there he was under me. And I drove over him. And I said to Billy, I said, I drove over him. He said, no, you didn't. He said he was in between the vehicle. He hadn't seen him, but he just spoke his word. He was in between the tires. He didn't get run over. And so later when I drove the path, walked the path, he had gone away. And so, you see, what positive things these guys are, what beautiful words they're putting in motion, how they're the creator of their world, all is in divine order. And I was teaching him to say, all is in divine order.
Yeah,
and as I teach everybody, including myself, to say all is in divine order, and it is, because the divine in me is unlimited. And that's what I like to be in divine order. Now, are you interested in making that statement for yourself? Are you interested in making that affirmation for yourself and enjoying it? Do you want every relationship to end in marriage? Do you want every what things do we do? Do you want every house to be your perfect house?
Yeah.
Well, you work toward having houses that are different. If you get your perfect house, why do you ever want to move?
It's perfect only that time you're there.
Yeah, until the next one.
If you have your perfect job, why do you want to move?
Until the next perfect one.
Because you get an opportunity to get a bigger money, a bigger raise, you know, bigger salary. And your perfect house is just perfect for two.
For what?
Two.
For one.
For two.
Oh, for me.
For two, and then you have a kid.
And then for three.
You follow me?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. See, your perfect house is a one-bedroom house, you know.
Yeah.
And no relatives can come and stay, no anybody. And then all of a sudden, a little angel joins your family. Maybe two and three, you know. And so you got to have more bedrooms so they can have places to live and to be and to grow and to have fun. Mm-hmm. Now, see, what is perfect under some conditions is not under others. So the word perfect there is a misnomer. Mm-hmm. It's more, we have the perfect house. We have the ideal house for our one, my husband and I, or my wife and I. We have the ideal house for my only child. And then all of a sudden, the only child ends up not being only child. Or, as Ellen experienced at the veterinarian today, this woman and man had a child. This dog that was about 10 feet tall and 12 feet long, it at least seemed like that. The dog was a big monster, bigger than the St. Bernard. Except he was a skinny guy. And the lady sat down, and then the dog backed up to her and put his rump on her lap and sat right on her lap. And his legs were the same as her legs, going down to the floor, you know. And his forelegs stood down and held his chest up so that his head was above her head.
Yeah.
You know, the big dog. We must look up the name. But it's a fantastic thing. When we realize the divine in me is unlimited, we have choices unimaginable. And we have fun unimaginable. And we are ourselves, and we're doing it now. So enjoy, have a lovely day, have a lovely evening, and know that the divine in me is unlimited. And so it is for you too. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Ingeborg.
Yes.